This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for the Midsummer Show.
Proudly presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. midsummer.org.au.
Listen to Joy wherever you are in the world with the new Joy app on your iPhone.
Celebrating queer culture. The Midsummer Show on Joy 94.9.
Presented by Midsummer Festival 2012. midsummer.org.au.
Joy 94.9. It's 10 minutes past 12 on your Monday afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Chris Jameson. I'm here with you for the next hour. I'm your host today of the Midsummer Show. It's our special seasonal program of showcasing everything to do with our Midsummer event right across from the 15th of January right through till the 5th of February. And I am, of course, joined by Adam Lowe, the CEO of Midsummer. Good afternoon, Adam.
How are you, Chris?
I'm pretty good. New to this particular seat.
Only in this hour.
You'll have to treat me gently for the show.
I'll do my best.
All right. A big, big thank you, of course, to Taryn for the morning show and to Tim Lennox for bringing us right up to date with today's news. Coming up in the Midsummer Show today, we have a couple of special guests coming in as well. We've got Rachel Simpson coming in a little bit later from the Queer City Visual Arts program.
Yeah, I'll talk about the work of Rachel. I don't think she's going to join us today. In fact, she was. It's scheduled to, but I want to talk a little bit about her work and her contribution.
We've also got, Catherine Alcorn coming up very, very shortly.
Yes, that's right, the divine Miss Bette.
And Ash Flanders coming up a little later in the program.
Yeah, I saw Negative Energy Inc. last night, so I'm looking forward to talking to Ash because I didn't get the chance to see him after the show last night and I had a great time.
Now, Adam, we're day 9 of the festival?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know what day it is.
So how was the weekend, I guess, is the key question.
Well, the weekend just gone. We've had a fantastic first week of festival, I realised when I woke up on Sunday morning and got dressed, I was wearing the same shirt that I had on Midsummer Carnival Day. My washing cycle had sort of fallen into a week by pure luck. It was like, oh my God, I'm going to look the same everywhere I go.
So everyone's going to say, has Adam been wearing shirt for 8 days?
Yes, and I might as well have been, because I've been out every night to see something, and I've usually had two or three things to see between the visual arts galleries to get to and the theatre and the dance performances to see. As I say, yesterday I saw Ash Flanders and Negative Energy Inc. and The Year of Magical Wanking at Theatre Works, and I had a great chat with Daniel Clark, the artistic director, creative producer down there. I think Theatre Works is really a great venue, and it's nice to see them participating in the festival. We started getting Theatre Works involved 2 or 3 years ago with Gentlemen Prefer Blokes, and now that Daniel Clark, a former artistic director at Feast Festival in Adelaide, is there, it's a great opportunity for us to capitalise on that space and get some performances in further. Overall, it's a really fantastic success. I think, you know, the tickets are doing, you know, really good business for ticket sales. Just, you know, although I say that in consideration of the number of events. There's over 160 events in this festival, so there's a lot to choose from, and I know that that people are definitely choosing to see as much as they can.
So the interesting thing is, of course, that you're out there doing the shows during the festival. Everyone would assume you've seen previews well before.
No. Remember, it's an open access festival. These people, all of these 160-odd events, bar a very small number, are produced by, created by, funded by, written by, performed by, in many cases, volunteers. And I think those volunteers are the forgotten volunteers sometimes. And I like to try to remind everybody that some of those people that they're seeing out there aren't getting paid to do what they do, even though they might. Normally, they're doing something on a low budget for an emerging producer or an emerging director or an emerging writer, or they're a visual artist who's emerging and funding themselves through something. And they've in fact paid money to Midsummer to be a part of the festival, to be a registered event. And this year we've got the Premier Events Program, where we've taken that slightly different tack of putting those submissions through some kind of critique, to try to stamp a little bit of a Midsummer artistic standard, for want of a better word, a Midsummer artistic taste, a Midsummer artistic recommendation on the festival, to ensure that the diversity that we want to support is there, and so on and so forth. But every one of these events is not necessarily seen before it gets into the festival. So sometimes I'm making it up when I sit here, but now at this point in the week, I've seen tons of things, and I've got lots of things that I can talk about, and I know firsthand what there is out there.
Fantastic. So you'll be catching up in sleep sometime in February.
Yeah, well, no, it'll probably be April. April and October turned out to be the 2 months of the year that are any good for me to take time off. Because you remember, the minute the festival finishes, we have to write all our acquittal reports to the government funding. Yes. And all those reports have to be submitted within 8 weeks of the close of the festival, and we have to justify how we spent the public money that we've received, which is well in excess of $100,000 this year, I think. We'll have received $80,000 from the City of Melbourne, $20,000 from Arts Victoria, $16,000 from Tourism Victoria, probably another $18,000 from the City of Yarra, all of which has gone into the creation of mainly carnival from the City of Melbourne side of things, but the visual arts queer city program through Mailbox 141, City Library, and £1,000 Bend, then the 69 Smith Street Yarra Arts Program, and that's some of the stuff that Rachel Simpson Rat, as we love to call her, has contributed to the festival that I want to talk about a bit later.
Fantastic. So lots and lots of work to do with Midsummer all year round, but this is the pinnacle.
Yeah, and now's the time to say too, if you're listening and you've got a spare $5 to donate it, remember that Midsummer is a charitable entity. We are registered, and we can give you a tax deduction for your donation, and you can do that at midsummer.org.au. And all of those funds that we receive go into a special public fund that is designed to support emerging artists and produce great arts and culture. And it's been a bit low over the last few years, and we've slowly started to rebuild it, and now's the time for you to donate to Midsummer.
Fantastic. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Catherine Alcorn, who's doing a show called Divine Miss Bet. That's all that and lots more right here on Joy 94.9. This is The Midsummer Show.
The Midsummer Show podcast.
Heard live on Joy 94.9 and presented by Midsummer Festival 2012.
Celebrating queer culture.
Adam Lowe, the CEO of Midsummer, is with us. And Adam, we have a very, very special guest in the studio with us now too.
That's right, we do. And that's not Madonna.
No.
We had her last week, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, Catherine Alcorn, the divine Catherine Alcorn.
Hello,
the divine
boys.
Lisbeth, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you? I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. I've chatted to you guys before, but that was from Sydney, so it's nice to come in and see where all the magic happens.
Yeah. You performed at Carnival.
Yes.
Did In the Mood and a song that I'm not really sure I know.
I can't believe you don't
Delta
know
Delta Dawn.
Oh!
I know that one. I knew as much that it was a 60s song, but yes. I actually couldn't remember the artist, and you reminded me.
Dusty.
Yes, right,
Dusty.
Well, which extends its community connection.
Doesn't it, though?
I think I have
Isn't
to take a gay stripe off my sleeve.
De-stripe, please. But, how dare you?
So the Divine Miss Bet.
Yes.
At the Butterfly Club. You've played Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend just gone? Or
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we've done 4 out of 8 shows
so far. And you're about to do another 4 this coming weekend.
That's correct,
And tickets are selling fast and people should get in quick.
They are. We've been full every night so far, which has just been incredible. Thank you, Melbourne, and thank you, Midsummer, for making that happen for us. It has been a really, really special run so far. And the Butterfly Club is just an extraordinary little venue. And I play in a much larger venue up in Sydney. But there's something so special about that room. I mean, the audience are basically on my lap and I'm definitely on theirs.
Yeah, and I think in this day and age too, they've been around now so long that they are a bit of a Melbourne institution.
They really are, yeah.
Our audience knows what they expect.
Yeah, well,
maybe rather not than so what much to expect to when
yeah,
they come.
Yeah.
Not what to expect, but what they expect. And so they come in, and I think the Butterfly Club and Simone and the team down there do a fantastic job of living up to what our audiences expect. And I think it's fantastic that they do so during Midsummer as well. But tell us about the Divine Miss Bet? It's how did it come about?
It was born in 2009. I went to university in Wagga Wagga, and when I was there, I was taken under the wing of local producer and director team Don Hillam, who's actually the father of Carla who's in my show.
In the show, yes. Fantastic.
And I was studying acting there at CSU, and I was discovered by Don one evening, and he really sort of thrust me onto the stage and supported what was the beginning of my career. And through him, I met a very instrumental man in my life, Peter Cox, who is a local director, producer, writer and teacher, now retired teacher. And after I finished there, I was singing and performing professionally with them outside of uni in a lot of shows that they were doing there, a lot of pantomime, cabaret, concerts, etc. there. And then I went off overseas and moved back to Sydney in 2007, and I was at a venue in Sydney called Slide that I'd never been to before. I was there to see a show of my friends called The Fabulous Chandeliers that Peter Cox had also written. And I walked into this venue and I was just blown away, and the show was amazing, and Cox had come up from Wagga to support the girls, and I raced over to him at the end of the show and I said, "This is what I want. I want to do this." And he said, "Okay, well, you know, what sort of show do you want to do?" And instantly, as if I had no control over it, I just said Bette Midler.
There it was.
It just came out.
It must have been, were you influenced by the lights on the floor or something?
Just taken over by the whole, you know, pizzazz of the whole thing. And 3 weeks later, I had a script from Coxie, who is a huge fan. He actually saw her, he and his wife Wendy came down and saw Bette in Melbourne in the 70s when she came over. So he knows his Bette
stuff.
I've
got one or two Bette Midler DVDs and CDs on my shelf at home. But Slide's by no means a continental bathhouse.
No, it's not. I know, tell you, but the Butterfly Club is, you know, it's really sort of on that intimate scale. Let me finish. On that intimate scale, it gives me, and I'm sure many other performers, the right to just completely, you know, just let loose. And it's really got that vibe and inspiration about in the room.
We're going to speak to Catherine some more very, very shortly here on the Midsummer Show on Joy 94.9. We may even hear a little bit of a live recording that Catherine did from the show a little bit earlier as well. This is the Midsummer Show on Joy 94.9. And if you miss anything with any of our shows, don't forget you can always get the podcasts at joy.org.au.
Listen to Joy wherever you are in the world with the new Joy app on your iPhone.
Chris James, your host, and Adam Lowe, the CEO, with you this afternoon, and our very special guest in the studio right now, Catherine Alcorn from The Divine Miss Bette.
It certainly is a morning for all the divas, Madonna, Kylie and Catherine.
That's right.
Speaking of divas and The Divine Miss Bette Midler, I'm very curious to know what it was like to work with Steve Ostro, who indeed discovered Bette Midler, basically, didn't he, in the Continental Bathhouse?
I still work with him. He's my vocal coach up in Sydney. Turns out that before I opened the show in 2009, I was working with a cellist from the Brandenburg Orchestra, and I was telling him about the show, and he said, "Well, the man who discovered her lives right around the corner from you in Sydney."
What a freak.
I know. What, the cellist?
No, the luck.
Yeah, oh, I know. Well, it is. It's incredible, but, you know, if you're on the right track, these things come along for you. So I got in contact with Steve and we began working together, and he moved out to Sydney after the days of the baths to sing with the Australian Opera Company for 10 years. So he trains me classically, and I get a good little insight into a couple of the stories.
You must have been able to share some Bette Midler stories to, A, inform your performance perhaps, but B, just as a tidbit.
Yeah, and you know, as research and having those stories in the back of my mind when I'm performing, because it really gives you a feel for the personality, which is, you know, what this show is it's a channeling more so than an impersonation. So,
Is there a particular story that stands out as being sort of most applicable to how the show has developed?
Yeah, Steve once told me that she always worked very, very hard. You know, she would rehearse 5 days a week with the band before her Friday and Saturday night show, and took was very avid in singing and dancing lessons, but she'd come in, she'd rehearse 5 days exactly the same every day, then she'd know what the band was going to do, then she'd come in on a Friday night and she'd do everything completely differently.
And so let me guess, you've taken that
Oh, certainly. Every show is a different show, and the Melbourne audiences have really helped it be that way as well. They're so interactive, and especially at the Butterfly Club, they can't help but be, because they're right yeah. up there in your face.
Well, I guess that leads me to thinking about the skills and the talents of the people behind you to follow you. If you are going to come in after you've rehearsed X and Y and Z, and you're going to perform D, E and F, they've got to be pretty talented people.
They are. They know me. You know, they know what I can get up to. So I'm extremely fortunate to have Carla Hillam and Michelle Brazier, who are actually both Wagga girls as well, who now live in Melbourne. So that was a coincidence. And we've had Mr. Adrian Portell with us for the last 4 shows, who's just come off playing keys for Mary Poppins,
that's right. Yep.
And looking forward to the next 4 nights with Mr. Trevor Jones, who's going to be joining us on stage. So that's going to be fun. He's just come back from New York, and we'll be getting together for a rehearsal tomorrow at his house. So warm up those fingers, Trevor. I'm coming over.
Well, I know a lot of those people, and I know Trevor Jones in Sticky Situations is about to appear at the Butterfly Club too, I think, next week.
Yes, and he's also coming up to Sydney.
Trevor and I work together with the Department of Education on the State School Spectacular each year.
Fantastic, yeah.
With Chong Lim. And Carla Hillam I met working with Stephen Schwartz on the Festival of Broadway with Will Conyers of Broadway at Bedtime, a past Joy program.
Well, the fabulous
and
cast.
Adrian Portell, in fact, outside of his music theatre work, he was at one stage with the Victorian State School Spectacular as well. So you've got a fantastic team of people behind you. And
I'm
I know
extremely
the show's
lucky.
Fantastic. I think we're lucky enough to have a little bit of a live recording of you.
Taste.
Just as you say farewell and go off and probably back to that rehearsal room where you flog them to death.
So what's the song called?
The song is called Dr. Long John.
Which is from what part of Bets?
It's from just like the show from the 70s era.
Right. Okay.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to that and thank Catherine Alcorn and wish you all the best with the show.
Thank you,
Midsummer,
and thank you, Joy.
No problems. Thanks. You're on Joy 94.9. This is the Midsummer Show. Here's a bit of Catherine now.
Yeah. Joy 94.9.
Listen to Joy wherever you are in the world with the new Joy app on your iPhone.
The Midsummer Show, live on Joy 94.9 and via podcast for summer 2011/2012.
See midsummer.org.au for more details.
We were just listening to Catherine Alcorn there from the Divine Miss Bet show on at the Butterfly Club, four more nights.
That's right, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week, midsummer.org.au. I think I'm going to be lucky enough to get there on Sunday. I've had an incredibly busy schedule, out every night of the week doing two or three things. Last night I managed to get two shows in. The Year of Magical Wanking was a fantastic piece by, I think it's Neil Watkins from Ireland, won some fantastic awards at the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival, and it's a great piece to have seen at Theatre Works, and I'm very grateful for Daniel Clark and his eye for work and bringing it to Midsummer and bringing Theatre Works into the festival as strongly as he has this year. The other thing that I was fortunate enough to see there was Negative Energy Inc. with the very man who's in the studio with us right now, Ash Flanders. Good afternoon, Ash.
Good afternoon.
It was a great fun show last night.
My mother was there, which always makes it interesting.
She was, and I'm not, you know, I'm not sure whether I was supposed to come away from it having a smile on my face or not, given the negative energy of it. But
I just say what's in my heart.
Yeah, well, I was going to segue with the idea of luck or the nature of luck, and the show is about. Well, it's about a number of things, really, but it's ultimately about you growing up and trying to get a career in the arts as a performer and making your own, really, which so many of us have to do.
Yeah, especially as in talk about being an out performer as well, and how that's inhibited my career, or it's helped my career, and certainly in some ways. And, you know, the fact that having to make your own work is great, but it certainly comes out of not being able to get work, you know. It's like making the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
Which is kind of negative and kind of positive.
And you've been doing it now for how long?
Performing and writing. 10 years, yeah. 10 years.
That which is, you know, as I was saying to you off air earlier, you know, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success, and perhaps we're on the verge of seeing that overnight success
now.
At the moment. Now, you did, you began at Hares and Hyenas, right?
Yeah, I did this show at Hares and Hyenas last year. It went really great. It was just an experiment. I'd been telling myself I had to do a solo show that I wrote for the last 7 years. And I just, you know, had a lot of crisis of confidence and wasn't sure that what I did would be any good or any fun. And then I saw Taylor Mack come out. And he was brought out by Daniel Clark at Theatre Works again. And that just made me realise that shows can be loose and fun and sort of a party and live and raw. And that's actually what excites me as a performer. And a chance to do all the things that I like to do, which is tell anecdotal stories in a funny way, give my opinions, have a rant, talk about the arts and play characters and sing songs and have a laugh.
Yeah,
put on wigs and have a party.
One of the things that I like to see is self-deprecation.
Well, here I am.
And I think there was a time there, I don't know, I think a lot to do with the 9/11 experiences of whenever that was and all those sorts. We got so tight that and politically correct that self-deprecation even became impossible.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen a revitalizer or a rejuvenation of the ability to be self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And it's something that I love to do around the office.
Yeah.
And it's great to see that in a show as well.
And it's just the performers I've always been drawn to as well, like people like Sandra Bernhardt, all the writings of, you know, David Sedaris or something like that. They do have sort of a snarky, negative kind of attitude, and it's cynical and it's funny and it's satirical and subversive, and that's sort of what I'm attempting. I'm not saying I'm as good as any of those people, but that's what I'm naturally drawn to. That's my aesthetic.
And by continuing to do it, you may well become as good as those
people. Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, and, you know, an overnight success.
Finally.
The characters, how are you going? In Negative Energy Inc. at the moment, it's really just you.
Me. I do someone called the Cancer Woman for a brief period, and then I do the Horse Woman at the end, which is the absolute crowd favourite, definitely.
But it inspires me to think about what's going to come next from Negative Energy or from Ash Flanders. And is this a career move now? I think the thing is, Yeah. Really quite successful. You've done one other show as well of your own.
I think. I've done many. I have a theatre company with my friend Declan, and we have done tons of shows and been to Edinburgh and stuff. And as a solo performer, I did I Love You Bro, which was a serious monologue written by Adam Cass at the Malt House. And that went to the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival. And then, you know, I've done a lot of performing and solo. I would like to do more of this kind of work, yes, but I don't want to just do this. I still want to be an actor. I'd love to be taken seriously as an actor. I'd love to write more of my crazy, wild stuff with Sisters Grimm, my company. I'd love to write my satirical, subversive stuff as myself. I don't know. Yep. I'm kind of still trying to have it all because you need a gig in this country, man. You can't just do one thing. I had to learn how to sing and dance and prance and mince and write and act and buy wigs. And you just got to learn how to do everything.
And be negative.
And be negative because ain't no one going to help Ash Flanders. He had to do it on his own. It's a long road, Ash Flanders.
Well, Edinburgh. Talk about Edinburgh.
What's I loved it. Edinburgh was the time of my life. I was just in the city that was older than my whole country and just lost in this, you know, wonderland of castles and drawbridges and cobblestones. And it was wonderful. And there were artists everywhere who just for a while there, I felt like what I did kind of did make sense and was part of a cultural happening or some sort of scene that is connected. And, you know, you're a link in a chain. And yeah, that was an amazing Edinburgh changed my life.
And and you talk more about that in the show, which is which is a fantastic part of the show.
Yeah, and then I meet someone at a beach in Torquay who inspires me. And it's very interesting.
Yes, but don't give too much
away. I can't. I know that's the problem with this show. I can't give away any of the good stuff.
Yeah, well, you talk about a sense of belonging, and I think that's something that Midsummer does for our queer community here.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful to you for bringing the work into the festival.
Well, I'm thrilled.
We might take a break and come back and talk some more
with Ash. We'll talk a little bit with Ash as we go along. You are on the Midsummer Show on Joy 94.9. This is the Midsummer Show, showcasing everything about the Midsummer Festival for 2012. In the studio with me is Adam Lowe, the CEO of Midsummer, and our special guest at the moment is Ash Flanders from a show called Men at Work.
Yeah. Negative Energy Inc. indeed, as part of the Men at Work series, which is thanks to the wonderful team led by Daniel Clark at Theatre Works. I saw the show last night, and as we were talking about all the various bits and pieces of it there that we were in the break before the track. It is really very much a live, fun, party kind of show, and despite the idea of negative energy, forgive me, Ash, if it's a piss take on negative energy, but what struck me about it was I came away from it a little bit uncertain as to whether I was watching stand-up comedy or whether I was watching cabaret in the Butterfly Club sense of the cabaret and that musical theatre performer gone wrong or, you know, finding their own way. It's not gone wrong even. It's the fact that it's so hard to find work in this country, in this industry, and it's such a competitive industry. You end up having to create these shows on your own. The balance between the musical singing kind of number and the comedy stand-up, the monologue stuff is much more in favour of the monologue. And at first I thought, oh, what am I here to see? But then I came away from it afterwards going, I'm really glad that that's what it was because I think sometimes I'm a little bit sceptical now about continually going to watch cabaret that's too formulaic. And I think some of the cabaret festivals probably need to shake up that.
Well, I would love to get this show to the Adelaide Cabaret Festival because I would like to see if this is cabaret. You know, what would a traditional cabaret audience think of it? You know, I'm not, you know, I have this horrible idea, and I haven't seen enough cabaret, obviously, but I just have this horrible idea that I'd hate to stand up there and go, you know, I was in love once, and then you hear the tinkling of the ivories, and I do some, you know, sad old jazz standard. The point is, I'm doing stand-up, ranty, angry, and funny, hopefully, comedy, and then, you know, as an audience, I talk so fast and so intensely, it would exhaust them if I didn't break into song every now and then and just let them relax and hear something that will calm them down and get them ready and maybe take them somewhere else. And there's certainly, I like some of the juxtapositions of the songs that I do. I talk about Christian youth camp and then I'll sing Jesus Take the Wheel in sort of a very earnest country and Western way and then kind of tear it apart from the inside as well. So it's a really weird hybrid sort of a show. If you don't like just stand-up. It's not that. If you don't like cabaret, it's not that. If you don't like actors and theatrics, it's not just that. It's sort of this mashup. It's just an art that came very naturally to me.
Something that I'd like to call queer.
It's very queer. It's a little bit different.
Now,
yeah.
Now, speaking, it's obviously slightly autobiographical.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned that your mum was in the audience last night.
Yes.
Did it change the show? Did you feel differently?
Yes, I had to swear at her on stage to shut the F up because she wouldn't shut up. And then her friends started heckling and they were already, like, when I watched them take their seats at start, they're passing wine bottles to each other and laughing and they're sort of, you know, moving into a blue rinse sort of nice, posh, Brighton set. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be saying horrible swear words to them and freaking them out. But they were very nice. And, you know, when I did my curtain call, I gave my mum the finger and she gave it right back to me, so it's good.
So it's a fairly obvious where some of the talents come from.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, right. I think I've just been trying to do my mother for about my whole career.
I've often said, you know, if you draw the line, I'll step across it.
And
that,
exactly.
That was something that I loved about that aspect of last night's show. You know? You're more than happy to step across the line, and I admire that.
I like that it's a conversation. I think improv is something I can kind of do, and I've always been sort of someone who valued a quick little jibe and a quick little back and forth. So if the audience want to yell out something, you know, I'm happy to go with it, you know.
And the only person you weren't happy with
was my mother.
With your mother.
Exactly. Yeah. She's calling me out.
But before we finish, I just, you know, you were talking about, and we've, part of the conversation has been about the difficulty of getting work, and part of the topic of Negative Energy Inc. Is about that very issue, and you're a jobbing actor.
Yeah.
What's the inspiration there? Who were what?
I remember there's been a lot. I remember, you know, doing drama class and them saying, okay, now we're all going to be cats, and I just went, oh my god, this is like, I get it. This is what I'm meant to be, a cat. But no, I'm meant to just be a liar, a professional pretender. And I have always been following this passion of mine, but as I've gotten older, I've realized that, you know, it's a bit more complicated than just pretending to be a cat, and you have to work really hard and develop an aesthetic and do your own writing and perform your own stuff and build a career and make connections and all of that stuff. But I remember being 16, in terms of a performer that really affected me, I saw Paul Capsis when I was like 16 in the Irresistible Rise of Arturo Uy at the MTC, and I just went shink, and I've been to like every show he's ever done. I've met him and I get really fangirly and weird when I meet him, and he's lovely.
Well, oddly enough, in the time that we've got left, I probably don't have enough time to really elaborate on the story, but Paul Capsis and Trevor Ashley both went through a theatre company in Sydney in the suburbs of Sydney called Shopfront Youth Theatre, which an ex-boyfriend of mine was also involved with. It was a great training ground for those sorts of things. And it's a very similar kind
of They're both fabulous.
Work that they've started out of there. So I do think we're on the right track when we're talking about the next rising star here.
And I do have, quickly to say, I'd be remiss of me to say that there is a deal tonight for my show, which is on at 7 p.m. at Theatreworks, that if you go on the Midsummer site or the Theatreworks site and type in the code SUMMERLOVING, which is, you know, as in the season and the action of loving, with the G included at the end of loving, you can get a really cheap ticket. So, you know, it's
and
a big
I recommend
gauche
it's
of
a fantastic
me.
Show. Ash, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. No one else will.
Anytime.
Yes, this has been the Midsummer Show. Thank you, Adam, as well.
It's always a pleasure.
And of course, if you miss out on anything or you didn't quite catch any of the details on any of the Midsummer Shows throughout this season, we are podcasting. You can get links to the podcast at joy.org.au. Ginny will be back next week, hopefully.
Hope so.
And thanks, Adam. This has been the Midsummer
Show. Thanks for filling in, Chris.
No worries. Shane's up next with a Joy Full of Music afternoon. This is Joy 94.9.
The Midsummer Show, live on Joy 94.9 and via podcast for summer 2011/2012.
See midsummer.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.